Was für ein Ohr, ich erinnere.
So we continue with the manners of seeking knowledge. And this book by Bakr Abu Zayd, you know, the thing I don't like about it is that, you know, he mentions different characters that are required in a person who's seeking the knowledge, or should be satisfied in a person seeking the knowledge. And he leaves a lot for the explanation. He doesn't explain much, or he explains but not in the optimum way, in the best way. He does not bring the hadith, the evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah, which directly applies or supports what he's saying. So we can always, of course, bring that from other sources, but that's a drawback that I find in this book. And there is in Arabic, there is a set of tapes, how many, 16 or 12? 12 tapes by Sheikh Muhammad bin Salah al-Athaymeen, in which he explains this. Which I found interesting, because as a knowledge level, Sheikh al-Athaymeen is supposed to be higher in knowledge than Bakr Abu Zayd, even though both of them are considered, you know, at least officially to be part of Hay'at Kibar al-Ulama, the council of the highest scholars. But he's more knowledgeable, but it seems that he found this to be a suitable thing to go over with his students, and they were reading from it and he was commenting wherever there is a need for commenting. Anyways, in our discussion of the manners of seeking the knowledge that should be satisfied by the person in himself, by the one who is seeking the knowledge in himself, we mentioned that the first character is that the person should deal with seeking the knowledge, with talab al-ilm, as a ibadah, as an act of worship. And therefore, it should have satisfy the requirements of a ibadah, which are basically two major requirements mentioned at the end of Surah Al-Kahf. And they are basically, the first is that the intention should be, there should be ikhlas. Seeking the knowledge should be done with ikhlas, with pure intention, that this is purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not for any other purpose, and not to rise among the people or to show, to demonstrate his opinion or anything like that. And secondly, that it should be done with, it should satisfy the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it should be done with that intention to be pure for Allah and according to the teachings of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the second character that we discussed was that seeking the knowledge should be according to the way of the Salaf. According to the way of the Salaf, which means the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and their true followers. And therefore one should demonstrate the quality that, or try at least to demonstrate the quality that he learns about the Salaf and their seeking of the knowledge. And then one should always have khashyatullahi ta'ala, which means fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then dawam al-muraqaba, which means one should consistently be watchful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of his closeness and knowledge of all of his affairs, and therefore he should act in accordance with this knowledge. And fifth is that one should stay away from pride and arrogance and should be humble in seeking the knowledge. Sixth, one should demonstrate qana'ah and zuhd, satisfaction with what Allah has given him, and renunciation of the worldly pleasures as much as possible. So the one who is truly a seeker of knowledge, he does not get involved much with this worldly life and with its pleasures, but he uses whatever he needs to survive in this life. And then number seven, one should beautify himself with the beauty of knowledge, which means that he should stay away from the characters that debase or lower the level of knowledge in the eyes of people. So he should not be a frequent joker, or the one who laughs a lot, or who is playful in his actions, and so on, or say bad words and so on. And then the eighth quality that we mentioned is maru'ah. Maru'ah, we said that it's hard to translate it to English, but it is the qualities, the set of qualities which make a person a man. And as I said, some people have translated it to be as manhood, and it is probably not a good translation, but it is the qualities which make the man a true man. And it doesn't mean that women do not have maru'ah, but the qualities of maru'ah for women would differ. And we mentioned that these are a set of character that have been accepted among the scholars as being necessary to appear in a person, and their contrary should not be present in a person. So some of them have evidence from the Quran and Sunnah, and others do not. It is just that what has become acceptable among the scholarly circles as being the character or the appearance of a stable, serious person. Some of what you can say is acceptable or has an evidence from the Sunnah is if you see a person running to come to the prayer, we know that this is first is not a character of maru'ah, and second, it is prohibited in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "La ta'tu salata wa antum tas'un," do not come to the prayer running. So if we see a person coming running, we see that he is childish in his action, or maybe children will do that, or something like that. But also this is also in violation of the hadith of the Prophet in this case. There are other things which are not in violation of the hadith, but they are not accepted by the people. It's not, for example, of the qualities of maru'ah for a man, a respectful man, to be walking, for example, in the streets, salam wa rahmatullah, chewing gum, for example. Chewing gum is not prohibited, but to do it like this is more childish, or in some cases it is considered like womanish, that for a person to do that, to walk while chewing gum, which means that the person is so much concerned about keeping his stomach moving or his mouth moving even when he is, doesn't have to do it. So things like that, as I said, it's not possible to define, to translate exactly the word maru'ah, but I gave a general covering meaning, hopefully, of what it is. And there is a book that I said, a large book, at least 400 or 500 pages, by Mashur Hassan Salman, in which he brings all the whatever he found to be considered by the scholars as being characters of maru'ah. And then tahalla bil maru'ah, he brings here two different qualities, tahalla bil maru'ah wa tahalla at-tamattu' bi khisali rujula. This is where we got last time. We were discussing maru'ah actually, and we did not totally finish. And then he says التمتع بخصال الرجولة. And there is an overlap here because خصال الرجولة, some of them are part of خصال المروءة, and some of them are additional from what he will be describing. So he says here التحلي بالمروءة وما يحمل إليها من مكارم الأخلاق وطلاقة الوجه السلام وإفشاء السلام وتحمل الناس والأنفة من غير كبرياء والعزة من غير جبروت والشهامة في غير عصبية والحمية في غير جاهلية. So he says that one should demonstrate or beautify himself with the characters of Maru'ah and whatever leads to it of good manners, of open face. In Arabic, open face, talaqat al-wajh means to be smiling faced, not to be frowning. وَإِفْشَاءِ السَّلَامِ, spreading salam among the Muslims, as in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِلْقَاءِ السَّلَامِ أو إِفْشَاءِ السَّلَامِ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ. يعني a Muslim is supposed to say salam whether he knows people or doesn't. And it's, you know, I was trying to apply this in some of the Muslim countries, Gulf countries. So I'm walking on the street and people mostly are Muslims, you know, so whenever I pass by someone I say salam alaikum, and they look at me like this, you know, as if I'm saying something very evil, very wrong. Why am I saying salam to them? I don't know them. There's nothing, no business between me and them, so why? So they have become like westernized, in that a person does not speak to another person without reason, and even then they do not say, very often they do not say a greeting. They just go ahead and say what they want. So إِفْشَاءِ السَّلَامِ وَتَحَمُّلِ النَّاسِ. تَحَمُّلِ النَّاسِ means to be patient with people. If they are harmful to him, they curse or push or do things to hurt him, to be patient and not to become, you know, angry for the least action of the people. وَالْأَنَفَ مِنْ غَيْرِ كِبْرِيَا. أَنَفَ means it comes from أَنْف, from the nose. So originally it means that for a person to raise his nose, which means to be arrogant. Anafa means arrogance. But he's saying some degree of anafa, which means to be above the lowly things that people commonly do, without kibriya, without pride. But do not let the element of pride and arrogance come into your heart. Well, izzati fi ghayri jabarut, same thing, to have izza, honor, to honor yourself above the lowly thing that are done by common people, without jabarut, without being an oppressor in your actions. وَالشَّهَامَةِ فِي غَيْرَ عَصَبِيَّةِ. Shahama is also to care about yourself, your family, your relatives, your friends, to be willing to go ahead and serve them quickly if they need help and service and so on, but without عَصَبِيَّةِ, without tribalism, or to favoritism, to favor them over other people with just for the mere fact that they are related to you, even though they are much worse in many other characters. وَالْحَمِيَّةِ فِي غَيْرِ جَاهِلِيَّةِ, same thing, to be concerned about you know, protecting your honor and your ard, but without jahiliyyah, without having the tendencies of jahiliyyah, that you do it just for the mere sake of linkage or lineage, without concern of whether they are Muslims, kafir, they are Muslim, they are not hurting them, just because they are related. So this becomes jahiliyyah, and a person should be concerned about his honor and his relatives and so on, but without the mix of asabiyyah or jahiliyyah. فتنكب, and he says فتنكب خوارم المروءة, and then stay away from the things that reduce the مروءة, في طبع أو قول أو عمل من حرفة مهينة, whether in character or in sayings or in working in a lowly work, you know, or business. A person could you know, a seeker of knowledge, of course, I mean, he's talking about those who want to be labeled as seekers of knowledge. A seeker of knowledge has to satisfy certain characters because he's carrying a great trust, or he is trying to carry a great trust, and therefore he should be a good representation of that trust. He should not do anything that would reduce that, you know, beauty of what he's carrying in his heart, or he's working on learning. So anything that would reduce it would affect what the trust he's carrying in the minds of the ignorant people. They'll say, look, these are the seekers of knowledge. They are the ones who do this, who do that, who do that, who do that. And they start blaming the knowledge for the shortcomings of the people who are seeking it. And that's why what he's giving is a description of the best possible thing that a person who seek a seeker of knowledge should satisfy in himself. And as I said, that they are not necessarily always things which are wrong to do, but for a person who is seeking a seeker of knowledge, you expect more from him than you expect from other people. As Allah Azza wa Jal said, Ya Nisa Nabi, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَأْتِ مِنْكُنَّ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ يُضَاعَفْ لَهَا الْعَذَابُ ضِعْفَيْنِ وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. O wives of the Prophet, the one of you who comes up, who does a clear sin, then her punishment will be doubled, twice. يُضَاعَفْ لَهَا الْعَذَابُ ضِعْفَيْنِ. And that's easy for Allah. Why is that? Because they are holders of knowledge. They are wives of the Prophet ﷺ. So they are not like common men, women. So there is more expected from them. And similarly, for any seeker of knowledge, for any person who is to be known to be a person of knowledge, he needs to be worthy of carrying that trust, and therefore more is demanded from him than from other people. So here he says he should not work in a lowly profession. You know, for example, a seeker of knowledge, you do not say that he is a plumber, he is a seeker of knowledge, or he is a custodian, or he is... Even though these professions are not wrong for a person to work in them, but not for a person who is supposed to appear as a symbol or a representation of the knowledge in the minds of the ignorant people, because they would not distinguish or understand. أو خَلَّةٍ رَدِيئَةٍ, or that he would have a bad character. He should avoid having a bad character. Khalla means a character that he is used to it, like Khalil. It's attached to him, he's attached to it all the time. Kal ujbi, like arrogance. Wal riya, show off. Wal batar. Batar means to despise or be the favors of Allah, or be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to people. Wal khuyala. Khuyala is like ujub to some degree, to be proud in his actions, in his appearance, to wear things that appear, make him appear distinctive, and to show the show of arrogance on him. واحتقار الآخرين, and despise others. وغشياني مواطن الرياب, or to go to places, doubtful places. So one should stay away from all these things. As for, this is all under المروءة. As for خصال الرجولة, تمتع بخصال الرجولة من الشجاعة وشدة البأس في الحق. Be satisfy or have the characters of رجولة. رجولة means, comes from رجل, which means man. So manly characters. من الشجاعة, like courage. وشدة البأس في الحق, and power, great power in truth, which means if there is something which is right, you would be powerful in supporting that right. وَمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ, good characters. وَالْبَذْلِ فِي سَبِيلِ الْمَعْرُوفِ, and giving away of money and possessions. فِي سَبِيلِ الْمَعْرُوفِ, in the way of goodness, of good things, in good ways. حَتَّى تَنْقَطِعَ دُونَكَ آمَالُ الرِّجَالِ, until you which means, he's using an expression which means that so that you would surpass or compete with men in doing these things. وَعَلَيْهِ فَحْذَرْ مِنْ نَوَاقِدِهَا, and be careful of what is opposite to it, what breaks such the characters of being manly in your actions, like ضَعْفِ الْجَأْشِ, to be weak in your determination. وَقِلَّةِ الصَّبْرِ, and the weakness or of patience, وضعفي المكارم, and the weakness in generosity or acts of generosity, فإنها تهضم العلم وتقطع اللسان عن قولة الحق, because all of that reduces the power or the beauty of knowledge or the power of knowledge, and cuts the tongue off saying the truth. If a person doesn't have the courage, if the student of knowledge doesn't have the knowledge, the courage to stand behind the knowledge he knows and to propagate it and to support it, then that would stop the truth from reaching others. وتأخذ وتقطع لسان عقلة الحق وتأخذ بناصيته إلى خصومة إلى خصومه في حالة تلفح بسمومها في وجوه الصالحين من عباده. Same thing, he means that this would cause the people who are against the knowledge, the ignorant people, of course, they like ignorance to spread, and if they see that the people of knowledge do not work on spreading the knowledge with force and with courage, then they will be happy, and that will be give them like an incentive or a something to say to attack the knowledge and the people who carry it. Now, of course, this we would take it with the understanding that a person, a seeker of knowledge, uses the wisdom, which mixes the wisdom with the courage, which means that in some cases it is, if a person is silent, it doesn't mean that he is afraid, but that he found that in certain situation this is the best thing to do, to remain silent, in order not to cause more harm or damage. So one has to weigh the benefits and the harms in every action that he does. But the one who is seeking the knowledge, who is a true seeker of knowledge, true carrier of knowledge, he should have the courage in his heart to die for the truth if it is warranted, if he finds that this is the best that should be done in a certain situation. And then the tenth character that he mentions here is Hajr al-Tarafuh. Hajr al-Tarafuh means to abandon easy life, ease of life, or the luxuries of life, exactly. لا تستمسل في التنعم والرفاهية. Do not partake, get too involved in luxuries of this life. ترفه أو التنعم. As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فإن البذاذة من الإيمان. البذاذة من الإيمان, which means a simple living, is from Iman, is one of the characters of Iman. And take or follow the advice of Amir Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu in his famous letter, in which he said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالتَّنَاعُمْ وَزَيِّ الْعَجَمْ وَتَمَعْدَدُوا وَخْشَوْشِنُوا رواه ابن الجعد. ابن الجعد. But he says this is in Sahihain, in Bukhari and Muslim, part of it, part of this letter of Ibn Umar to some of his leaders that he sent to the Persian areas, so that he didn't want them to be involved in the lifestyle of the, in their time it was the Eastern, because they were to the East, but in our time we say the Western lifestyle, that a person loves it so much that he wants to take it all together as a whole package, and to be to take all the luxuries of the Western life, and therefore Muslims, when a person, for example, is about to get married, then the family of the bride want to make sure that he will provide for their daughter the complete household, which copies the best or higher than the average, at least, of what is considered in the Western standards as being the the kind of life that would make it easy for a person and happy and etc. etc. So that was similar, of course, in their time, that Umar sent his soldiers to fight the enemies, but he knew, radiallahu anhu, with his deep knowledge and great foresight, he knew that people are influenced by exposure to other cultures, and therefore he warned them, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالتَّنَاعُمْ, beware of luxury, وَزَيِّ الْعَجَمْ, and the clothing of the Ajam. Ajam in that time were the non-Arabs of the Persians mostly, the dresses of the Persians. وَتَمَعْدَدُوا وَخْشَوْشِنُوا, which means, be conservative in what you eat and your eating, and be hard, so live a hard or a tough life. خْشَوْشِنُوا.
In the characters of Marwa, one of them mentioned
Marwa
mentioned to stay away, try to stay away from lowly jobs. This could be a little sensitive, considering many hadith about how Rasulullah will enter first and then the fuqara will enter after him or alongside with him. And other that this work of the sweat is very honorable. So even though I understand the reason for the Juhala not to get the, you know, for the da'wah, that they will not say he is a lowly person, why listen to his knowledge or something, but the examples of Umar radiallahu anhu, how he was very simple living, and then and nowadays we have Al-Albani, he was a watch repairman for most of his career before. So I don't know how we should fear this impression or da'wah when the real da'wah comes from Allah, the Hidayah, and if you really are a plumber or anything, it's honorable.
Yeah, we are saying for the seekers of knowledge. It's not for the common people. It's not that these jobs are not permissible to have or to work in these professions, but for the seekers of knowledge, they should not be involved in certain jobs, and also the determination of which jobs are considered lowly and which are not is also, you know, something that is commonly known by the among these scholarly circles, that this is a scholar is not supposed to be working as a plumber or as a for example I don't want to say that.
Well, I know, but I mean, scholar, if he's, that's the only he's living in his that, and he's still the person.
Yeah, he's not doing haram. He's not doing anything haram. Then he can say that this is what I found. This is the only thing that I could find. Like, salallahu. If you, but we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for example, that there is no prophet but has tended the sheep, but was a shepherd. So that means that this profession is not a lowly profession, because it's a profession of prophets. To tend sheep. So it's not that it is every low-paying profession is considered lowly. No, it is what the person deals with. And as I said, you know, for a student of knowledge to be a custodian, which means he has to go and clean the houses and the bathrooms and things like that. Even though it's not haram, but
if he has a choice, he should.
Yeah, he should. Yeah, exactly. If he has a choice, he shouldn't be. Working in this.
That's up to the culture definition of knowledge.
Yeah, but not the culture of the common people, the culture of the scholars. The standards set by the scholars in these matters. And this, of course, varies slightly from one area to another, from one society to another, but there is a general common understanding. So, yeah. وعليه, he says, وعليه فزور عن زيف الحضارة فإنه يؤنس الطباع ويؤنس الطباع. And therefore he says, stay away from the fake glory of civilization, because it makes your manners female-like for the man. ويرخي الأعصاب, and relaxes your nerves, which means, again, I mean, it makes you too lazy. Yeah, because, you know, if a person wants to live the according to the standards of this kafir society, which a Western society, which has become common, he will go to his house, sit in front of the TV, carry the remote with his in his hand, and start flipping the channels while he is reclined back, And that is definitely a very big waste of time, a very big waste of maru'a, of manly characters. In addition to all the other dangers and harms that he will see in front of him on the TV. But that is one of the examples of the wastes of the current civilization. وَيُقَيِّدُكَ بِخَيْتِ الْأَوْهَامِ. And it ties you up with threats of imagination or imaginary threats, because when a person is is under Allahabad. Now in the discussion of manners of seeking the knowledge from the book Halyatu Talib al-Ilm by Shaykh Bakr Abu Zayd, we discussed many important characters that are required in a person who should seek the knowledge, and one of them was well, the last one that we started dealing with was Hajr al-Tarafu, which means to desert easy life or luxurious life. He says, and this part we covered last time, لا تسترسل في التناعم والرفاهية فإن البذاذة من الإيمان. Do not be too involved in luxury, easy life, easy living, because بذاذة من الإيمان. البذاذة, this is a hadith which says البذاذة من الإيمان. It means hard living or simple living, simple life is an indication of iman or of the size of iman. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said in his important letter to his leaders, to his, you know, when he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he sent a letter to the commanders of the army, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالتَّنَاعُمْ وَزَيُّ الْعَجَمْ وَتَمَعْدَدُوا وَخْشَوْشِنُوا. Beware of easy living and clothing of the non-Muslims, وَتَمَعْدَدُوا وَخْشَوْشِنُوا, which means eat and live a simple life. Eat simply and live a simple life. A خشوشنو means become tough, which means do not be so soft, like you are too much used or under the influence of the worldly life or worldly luxuries. وعليه فزور عن زيف الحضارة فإنه يؤنث الطباع. He said, therefore, stay away from the fake influence or the fake a glitter of the hadara, of the civilization, because that makes your manners feminizes your manners. It makes it more feminine instead of being manly, like that's of course talking to men. وَيُرْخِي الْأَعْصَابِ, it relaxes the nerves, which means makes a person too careless. وَيُقَيِّدُكَ بِخَيْتِ الْأَوْهَامِ, ties you with the threats of doubt or imagination, imaginary threats. وَيَصِلُ الْمُجِدُّونَ لِغَايَاتِهِمْ وَأَنْتَ لَمْ تَبْرَحْ مَكَانَكَ. And by that, those who work hard, who try hard, they will reach their destination where they are trying to get, whereas you are still in your place. If you become too accustomed to the ease of the civilization, easy living of the civilization. مشغول بالتأنق في ملبسك. You are just busy to make your clothing look, you know, very nice. وإن كان منها شيات ليست محرمة ولا مكروهة ولكن ليست سمتا صالحة. And even though some of those, you know, things which are from the civilization, from the worldly possessions, even though not everything is prohibited, of course, I mean, there are many things which are permissible, but to be too involved in them is not, even though it's not haram or makruh, but it is not a character of laysat samtan saliha. It's not a good indication or a good character for a person to be over involved in these matters. والحلية في الظاهر كاللباس عنوان على انتماء الشخص بل تحديد له وهل اللباس إلا وسيلة من وسائل التعبير عن الذات فكن حذرا في لباسك. He says your appearance is an indication of what's in your heart, so be careful on how you get dressed. لأنه يعبر لغيرك عن تقويمك في الانتماء والتكوين والذوق. ولهذا قيل الحلية في الظاهر تدل على ميل في الباطن. That's why it is said that the external clothing is an indication of the internal inclination. والناس يصنفون كم لباسك. And people categorize you usually based on the way you are dressed. بل إن كيفية اللبس تعطي للناظر تصنيف اللابس من الرصانة والتعقل أو التمشخ والرهبنة أو التصابي وحب الظهور. So same thing, that the way you are dressed gives the people an indication of whether you are a person who likes to show off or a person who likes to appear as a scholar or a monk who doesn't want to be involved in any of the worldly matters, or a person who has good mind, good understanding, and so on. فَخُذْ مِنَ اللِّبَاسِ مَا يَزِينُكَ وَلَا يَشِينُكَ. So dress with that which decorates you without debasing you or affecting your reputation in a bad way. وَلَا يَجْعَلُ فِيكَ مَقَالٍ لِقَائِلٍ وَلَا لَمْزَ لِلَامِزٍ. وإذا تلاقى ملبسك وكيفية لبسك بما يلتقي مع شرف ما تحميه من العلم الشرعي كان أدعى لتعظيمك والانتفاع بعلمك. And if your clothing, of course, agrees with the Shari knowledge, the knowledge of Islam that you also carry, that's of course an address to the students of knowledge, this whole thing. The one who is seeking to carry more and more of the knowledge of Shara. So if they agree together, that is, the way you are dressed is in line with the way with the knowledge you are carrying. كان أدعى لتعظيمك وانتفاع بعلمك. That would be an additional reason for people to respect you and to benefit from your knowledge. See if you can give Omar a paper or a notebook to write on. So, okay. This is your notebook?
Yeah,
here it is. Oh, give it to Abd Rahman. وفي المأثور عن أمير المؤمنين عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه I think they have something wrong here in the تشكيل. أحب إلي أن أنظر القارية أبيض الثياب, which means it is very or more preferable to me, more dear to me, to see a reader of the Quran, which means a holder of some kind of knowledge. Those who read the Quran in his time were, of course, very knowledgeable people. Unlike in later times, as the Prophet ﷺ says, that many of the readers of the Quran, many of those who memorize the Quran and read it for others, they read it for money, to earn money with it, or to gain the respect of people, or to gain a position among people, just by the mere fact that they are carrying this Quran. So he says that one of the signs of the future is that there will be too many qurra and too few scholars. So the qira'ah is not intertwined with knowledge in the future days. And this is what we probably see all over now, the world, that you see many people who memorize the whole Quran, but as for its knowledge of Islam, they have very little of it. You find there are schools now specialized in making people memorize the whole Quran, but and you see they graduate lots of people every year, but many of these, they have very very shallow knowledge of Islam, and many of them after a little bit you find that they forget what they memorized. But when he talks about Qari in his time, he's talking about somebody who read the Quran, memorized it, and also he knows, he carries a lot of knowledge, because as we said last time, that the Sahaba in their time, they used to learn 10 ayat of the Quran and not go beyond them until they understand them, they memorize them, understand them, practice them, apply them in their lives. So فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنَ وَالْعِلْمَ وَالْعَمَلَ جَمِيعًا. That way they say we learned Quran and knowledge and action, practice, at this all at the same time. So this is when he says أحب إلي أن أنظر القارئ أبيض الثياب. He means the one who reads, who carries the Quran and carries the knowledge of the Quran as well, not just the mere words of the Quran in his heart. So it's more dear to me, or very dear to me, to see the reader of the Quran wearing white clothing, to be dressed in white. For them, the white clothing was a sign of, you know, indicates nice clothing, which is not extravagant, you know, but it's nice. And the Prophet ﷺ used to love the white clothing, white clothes, and he used to prefer it to other kinds of clothes, and he used to, in some of his ahadith, he encourages people to wear it on Fridays and other situations. You can, you know, realize or imagine that in their situations, in their life, in the desert, they did not have, it was not easy to be dressed in white. White needs special attention, special care to remain white. Otherwise it will be white, and then a few hours later it will be brown because of the dust and dirt and so on. So to be dressed in white means that the person is clean, is attentive to his clothing, but at the same time he's not extravagant like somebody who's wearing bright colors and, you know, special jewelry and things like that.
How are the different cultures like us? And what kind of, I mean, when you say white, you're referring pants and shirt like thing, or and put something?
I don't know about the pants, but but it is. Yeah. Well, it is. There are ahadith which say that أحبوا ثيابكم, or the best of أفضل ثيابكم البياض, the best of your clothing is the white. No, not necessarily. But the clothing should be something that, you know, conforms with the general guidelines of dress. Like if somebody is wearing, and you have seen it probably, very tight white pants, and some of these white pants are even semi-transparent, so you can, I've seen some Muslims, you know, wear those and you can see the outline of their pockets on the top, and then of course, I mean, you cannot see exactly the outline of their legs, but by contrast, if there are pockets here, that means there are no pockets there. So it's really ugly view. And when they are pants, when they are tight, it's even worse. So they stand and you can, you know, see the outline of everything. So really, I mean, if one wants to, or is from an area or a country where the Western clothing has become like the norm and the accepted practice of people, then at least he should wear it in a way that it is baggy, not going behind the ankles, and as far from being close to the attitudes and manners of the kuffar as possible, because as you know, there are sometimes certain designs or certain what you call them, more what's the word for it in English?
Fashions.
Certain fashions which are meant to imitate certain music stars or some movie stars or whatever, or football players, etc. Whatever stars they have. Yeah, they have so many stars, huh?
Rappers,
etc. So one should be very far away from imitating in such clothing, that's for sure. Okay, so he says, I love to see the reader with white clothing, and he's explaining that is because that would be more respectful in the spirit, the souls or the minds of people, and therefore they would respect the knowledge that he's carrying. You know, imagine that, you know, and I've seen this too, imagine that there's a qari of the Quran, or one who memorizes the whole Quran, and then he is, you know, clean, shaved, he is wearing tie and western clothes and so on, and tight clothes, and then he starts speaking to you, and you know, sometimes try to give some evidence from the Quran about things that he's saying, you feel that you cannot take him seriously because his appearance is not in line with the message he's trying to reflect to you. So that's what he's saying, that the clothing, even though it's not of course of major importance, but it is important to represent the knowledge that you are trying to transmit to people. والناس كما قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى كأسراب القطر مجبولون على تشبه بعضهم ببعض. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, people are, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, they are like the flocks of qatar. Qatar means birds, you know, like the what you call these birds, pigeons, like pigeons or doves. No, it's pigeons.
Oh, pigeons.
Yeah. So you see flocks. Do you call them flocks? The sirb, asrab. So you see them here in the morning. Almost every morning, we see very very large numbers of birds going, blackbirds going from south to north, and in the evening they go the opposite direction. Probably see them every day. We see them almost every day after Fajr prayer. So you see them going, all following each other in one way. So he says people, and we know this about pigeons, when they fly in the sky, they go around in circles, all together, following each other. So he says people are made like these flocks of birds. They like to imitate each other. That's the way they are made. They like to imitate each other. Ibn Taymiyyah, yeah. فإياك ثم إياك من لباس التصابي. So beware, and then beware again of wearing the clothes of تصابي. تصابي means even though it comes from صبي or صبوة. صبوة means, صبي means boy, okay, or young man, very young man, like teenager or something. And صبوة means somebody who has a certain whim, okay, certain desires, sudden desires that come and influence him and so on. So beware of wearing any of the clothes which indicate such. Because there are people who, you know, are dressed in clothing that reflects that they have some weakness in their mind, you know, they like to appear in a bright and amazing appearance. أما اللباس الإفراجي فغير خاف عليك حكمه. And as for the Western clothing, it is not hidden from you, it's حكم or it's ruling, which means that it is not permissible. And as I said before, this of course applies to where they live, because they live in a country where the common clothing is not the Western, even though some people, even Muslims, wear the Western dress in certain companies, in certain areas, but it is very rare, and these people are considered to be less respected by the common people, by the other people, because they are wearing Western. So in their country, the Western dress is totally rejected, or you can say it is prohibited to wear it, because there is no need for it. The common dress is different from it. But in other countries, as I said, it has become the norm. And I don't know, I think in Turkey, one of the countries that they, after the blessed revolution of Ataturk, it's recording. Okay. Okay. So after Ataturk came, he wanted to change, things upside down, upside down. Whatever was up, he wanted to make it down. So he changed from the west, from the eastern way of dressing. He wanted to make everything Western dressing, manners, actions, alphabet, everything. So now you find that I don't know right now in this time, but I would imagine if Turkey is like Lebanon and other Middle Eastern countries, that the common dressing, way of dressing, is pants and shirts. Unfortunately, one, two generations or three generations ago, it was the rarity. It was something very exceptional to wear. So in those countries, you can say that it is permissible for a person to wear this dress, but it should, if he cannot wear it, that's much better. It needs, of course, sometimes a lot of willpower and self-determination and so on. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes in work, if you go like that to work, they will start laughing and maybe they will throw you out from your work the next day. But if it is possible, that's the best. If it's not possible, then the Western dress should be modified in a way, as I said, to meet with the Islamic standards of being above the ankle, of being baggy, white pants, and to avoid wearing the tie as much as possible, and so on. وليس معنى هذا أن تأتي بلباس مشوه ولكنه الاقتصاد في اللباس برسم الشرع تحفه بالسمت الصالح والهدي الحسن. Saying it does not mean that you dress in a funny way or in a crippled way, but it means that you wear things which reflect the good manner, the good behavior, the good guidance. Okay, next thing that he mentions is الإعراض عن مجالس اللغو. هذا مجدي. الإعراض عن مجالس اللغو كفاه. لا تطأ بساط من يغشون في ناديهم المنكر. Do not step on the carpet of those. This is, of course, a way of saying it in an eloquent way in Arabic, in a poetic way. It's not meant literally. Do not step on the carpet of those who يغشون في ناديهم المنكر. He took this from the Quran, which Salih was telling his people, وتغشون في ناديكم المنكر, which means you get involved in your nadi, in your common place where you meet together, in your meeting place, you get involved with munkar, with offensive and objectionable or rejected things. So he says, do not step on the carpet of such people, which means do not go to them, do not be mixed with them, do not approach them. وَيَهْتِكُونَ أَسْتَارَ الْأَدَمِ. And those who, same thing, this is an Arabic expression, they break the curtains, or they break down, pull down the curtains of adab, of mannerism, or good manners, so it means that those who have no manners, who are ill behaved, متغابياً عن ذلك, in an unattentive way, which means do not be unattentive to this, but be careful, do not do these things. فإن فعلت ذلك فإن جنايتك على العلم وأهلها عظيمة. If you did, which means if you did the contrary, if you go to these people and be involved with them, then your harm to the knowledge and its people is great, because you are supposed to be a representative of the knowledge. So may Allah Azza wa Jal enable us to be good representatives of the knowledge and to enable us to protect ourselves and our actions, our deeds, our eyes, our full behavior from being, under the influence or under the attraction or under the association with any of the deviant or bad people. Number 12, he says, al-i'radu 'an al-hayshat. Al-i'radu 'an al-hayshat, to stay away from haysha. Hayshat al-aswaq is mentioned in the hadith, which means, when people are over emotional, they want to cry and yell and shout and make a lot of noise. So in the marketplaces they do that because every merchant wants to sell his items and his merchandise, so he starts not in malls and things like that. Well, actually even here in Western society they do it in a different way, by advertisement. That's advertisement is a kind of haisha. But in the old style, what they do is every merchant is standing by his merchandise and he says, come and buy from me, I have the best merchandise, I have the cheapest prices, I have etc., etc. So and the other one is saying the same, the third. So when you get into a marketplace, you find yourself dazzled by the amount of noise which is being produced there. So this is where the word Aisha is used in the hadith, warning people to be involved or to stay away from these Hayshat al-Aswaq. So here he's saying stay away from these noisy situations. التصون من اللغط والهيشات فإن الغلط تحت اللغط وهذا ينافي أدب الطلب ينافي أدب الطلب. Because the one who is noisy is liable to make mistakes, and this is does not conform with or agree with the manners of seeking the knowledge, that is. Okay, the next character is, see if we can finish them before the tape finishes. Just we have three more, but he brings them very briefly. At-tahalli bil-rifq, to beautify yourself with kindness, rifq. التزم الرفق في القول مجتنبا الكلمة الجافية. Be kind in your words and stay away from the abrasive or hard words that would injure or hurt the feelings of other people. فإن الخطاب اللين يتألف النفوس الناشزة. Because soft manner of speech or addressing people in a soft manner, يتألف النفوس الناشزة, brings the rebellious spirits or souls closer. So it attracts the hearts of the people even if they are against you. وأدلة الكتاب والسنة في هذا متكاثرة. There are so many numerous evidences regarding this in the book and the Sunnah. The well-known example common example given in this case or regarding this is the hadith regarding Aisha radiallahu anha with the Jews. Inshallah, I'll mention it if we have time at the end of the tape, otherwise I'll keep going now. At-ta'ammul. The next character is التأمل. التحلي بالتأمل. فإن من تأمل أدرك وقيل من تأمل تدرك وعليه فتأمل عند التكلم بماذا تتكلم وما هي عائدته. Which means contemplate on what you say. Because when you contemplate on what you say before you say it, which means measure it very well, very carefully, and then you say it. Because if you do that, then you will know, which means you'll know the effect, the result, and therefore you will know whether to say it or not. فَكَأَمَّا أَنْ تَتَكَلَّمْ لِمَاذَا تَتَكَلَّمْ وَمَا هِيَ عَائِدَتُهُ. So contemplate when you speak about what you will say and what is the outcome of it. وَتَحَرَّزْ فِي الْعِبَارَةِ وَالْأَدَاءِ دُونَ تَعَنُّتٍ أَوْ كَحَزْلُقٍ. And be careful in the words that you use, in the way you present what you want to say, without being too, متحذلق, which means somebody who tries to appear smart in saying things. So to reflect his smartness to people by selecting certain smart and intelligent way to impress the people with his wording or his speech. And he says, this is important. تأمل عند المذاكرة كيف تختار القالب المناسب للمعنى المراد وتأمل عند سؤال السائل كيف تتفهم السؤال على وجهه حتى لا يحتمل وجهين وهكذا. So for example, he says, when somebody asks you a question, make sure that contemplate on it, try to understand it very well. So